Today we have Megan Alba joining me from Martis Solution. And we'll be just talking about marketing and PR and how they can live together and how PR can kind of really drive the strategic positioning of marketing teams.
Welcome to the PR Playbook Podcast, the only podcast giving you actionable skills and advice you need to execute a strategic PR program. Warning: what you hear next may lead to brand awareness and increased sales and customer exposure. Now here's your host, Ringini Joshua.
Hello and welcome to the PR Essential Summit series. This is our third year running with the PR Essential Summit, where we talk to experts about what happened in 2023 and what we foresee for future trends in different industries, including social media, SEO, obviously PR, media relations, journalism, content development. And so I hope you guys enjoy this series as we kick off the new year and get ready to build proactive strategies to make your communications programs better. And as always, make sure you email me if you have any questions, Ringini@thesilvertelegram.com. Enjoy the series. Hello and welcome to the PR Essentials Summit. Probably the most essential session of the summit, I would argue, is this one. Megan, what do you think?
I mean, I think it's a pretty important topic. So
yes.
I agree.
So maximizing your marketing strategy and leading with PR, something I've been preaching for many years now. Yeah. And Megan here, our beloved Megan, has gone to the dark side. So now she can vouch for it. A lot of people used to say PR was the dark side. I just don't see it.
I think I told you this. I understand now why marketing people are sometimes so frantic, because Yeah, it can be really intense and overwhelming at times. So definitely the PR side, I've had to learn to lean into it, and it definitely helps keep things calm.
That's good. So we'll talk about that today.
Yep.
Obviously, I'm Ringini Joshua. Today we have Megan Alba joining me from Martis Solution. And we'll be just talking about marketing and PR and how they can live together and how PR can kind of really drive the strategic positioning of marketing teams. And I guess that's what we'll talk about. So we're going to cover today the challenges small businesses face in branding in a tough economy, how PR helps create a brand foundation, how to develop strategic content for your business, which I think is going to be huge in 2024, how to create unified messaging across PR, marketing, social media, and sales teams. And how do you create a strategy without becoming overwhelmed, as Megan was mentioning?
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to this discussion. So I use this image because people always come to me with this chicken and egg question. What comes first? PR, marketing, branding, whatever the question could be. Let's dive into it, Megan.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think I've heard this question, you know, so many times. I want to build a business. I'm so excited. I have this idea for a business. I'm going to go for it. That's great. What I've found after years of working in communications, I've done PR, marketing, nonprofit, for-profit, a little bit of everything. Opportunity is a two-sided coin. Technology today and the economy and the world that we live in today makes it possible for almost anyone to create some sort of business or business model. That's right. Fantastic. That's also the challenge. The challenge is anybody can create a business. So we end up with this increasingly crowded market space and this shifting economy where it's very easy for people's attention to waver. My kids just watched Ralph Breaks the Internet for the first time.
Okay.
And there's a scene in there where Ralph is trying to get more views on whatever, like, their version of YouTube is.
On YouTube.
And he's literally, like, hurting people to go and watch his video, but then they're getting distracted by another video. And they talk about how fickle these channels are and how fickle people are. And I think it's a great example of that. Yes, you have the ability and the opportunity to create businesses literally from scratch. You know, in an hour, you can have a business up and running. But also, that presents its own unique set of challenges. And one of those internal challenges is distraction.
Yeah.
It's so easy to get distracted. So it's easier for our audience to get distracted, but you as a business owner, it's easy for you to get distracted because you're like, oh, I'm going to build my business. And all of a sudden you've got 47 pop-up ads for all this amazing tech that's going to help you streamline your business. Then you buy this software, buy that software, take this class, take that class. There's this new sales tactic that guarantees you $10,000 your first month.
Right.
And so it's really easy to forget that you still have to sit down and do the work because at the end of the day, branding and building a brand, the fundamentals have not changed over the years. The tools that we use may have changed. The distribution channels may have changed. But the bottom line is you still have to be willing to sit down, focus, and put in the work at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's one of the hardest things is like just let's say just coming from an agency perspective, like a PR agency, right? Like that's the last thing we do is PR for ourselves. But when I sit down and think about, oh, wait, let me focus in on who are we reaching? Like, what are we actually saying to them? What are we trying to help them do? You really do have to come back and reel it in because I think what happens in marketing and PR is that you want to incorporate new strategies and tactics.
Yeah.
And so you start branching out, which I think is a great thing. I think it's really great for people to adopt new things. But then you do have to kind of sit back and go, wait a minute. Okay, is this in the wheelhouse of what we wanted to do as a strategy or as an overall brand? Is this in our message? Is our audience even watching us on TikTok? No, they're not. You know, like we need to be where they are. So I think that's really important. And I like the idea that you sit down and kind of refocus. Leveraging PR for that part of it, I think is really important because PR can help kind of bring you back to base, right?
It can. And having that PR agency experience for me, I'm so grateful for the time that I have spent working with agencies, working outside as the outsider with clients coming in, because now being on the inside, being on an internal team, I can use that experience. And I look at it. Sometimes I make myself step back and look at it from an outsider perspective and say, if this were my client, at what point am I going off scope? Like, at what point have we derailed? Where do I need to pull us back in? Because it really is. When you're in the middle of it, when you're a business owner, when you're an internal marketing team, it is so easy to get distracted by all the things because you're hearing
all the things people are asking
internally.
You to do. Right? Yes. They're just throwing stuff at you.
Yes. And it's all urgent. And I agree. And I can empathize with that. And I have some notes about that later on in this discussion. But yeah, you have to, as the leader, as the person steering the ship, you have to sit down and do the work. And sometimes you have to tune all of that out and really focus in on what your strategy and your messaging is. Otherwise, you're going to get distracted and it's going to become very muddy.
Yeah. And I think to this next point, collaboration required. I know there was like a little bit more that you wrote about this, but I think, again, this is when that person who's internal has to also communicate all of that with their external teams. If they have external teams or whatever team members they have is like, hey, look, this is what we're going to focus on. And like you said, I love that example that you gave. Like sometimes I pretend like, you know, this is my client. Mm-hmm. Where do we go out of scope? Well, you have to be like, oh, let's reel it into these things that we want to actually accomplish. And that collaboration is actually really important between an internal marketing person and an external agency, whether it's a marketing, SEO, PR, digital marketing, whatever it is, you know, like you really have to try to keep that like line of thought running every time. Yeah. Do you, as an internal person, like how do you reset that? How often do you have to reset that?
I think that having a regular cadence is what's important. We do have some outside teams, you know, like we have a digital marketing agency who helps us with some aspects because we are a small business. And so we can't bring everything in-house yet. To that extent, I have to have a regular cadence with them. And that's a regular Slack channel for day-to-day communication and regularly set meetings. You'll have to decide the cadence. For us, it's at least once a month. Sometimes when it's a busier season, it's every other week. Because we can still connect, you know, daily via Slack. I talk with them every day. And
you're the worst. You're the worst is what you're saying.
Yes, I am. I'm the worst. But also they're like, you know what? I appreciate it because I will say, hey, I need to give you a heads up. There's a new, you know, feature release down the road. I just found out about it. And I want to let you know there's nothing you need to do about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just letting you know this is 3 months down the road. So, you know, pencil it in so that we can talk about it then. And I just look at it as it's almost like your doctor, like tell your doctor everything. That communication collaboration needs to go both ways. So you need to be transparent with them so that they can help you solve those problems.
But creating a brand foundation, we talked about, you know, one of the things about marketing teams and communication is really having a core message. And we had mentioned, I had mentioned this in my recent article on Forbes about PR versus marketing, where I'm really outlining the differences of what a PR team does and establishes versus what a marketing team actually ends up carrying out. And I think that's what the big difference is that PR is really establishing a core set of communication metrics and tactics and a core communication theme. And marketing is kind of selling based on that. Would you say that's correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that PR, I kind of look at it as PR is your big picture, your big circle, and marketing provides these cycles within that to execute tactically. PR, for me, helps you to understand how to build credibility. Marketing, and you said this so well in your Forbes article, you mentioned them as kind of cousins, and you mentioned how marketing really focuses on sales. And I think that's why marketing sometimes feels really busy and tactical.
Yeah.
And it's easy. I think I talk about this a little bit later on in the slides too. It's easy to get distracted in marketing and to mistake your tactics as strategies. And then you're just kind of working frantically. Whereas PR really is that let's take a step back and let's figure out what these messages are. Because PR at the end of the day has to be like the messaging has to be dead simple.
Yeah. Right.
I have gone back time and time again to your statement. If your grandmother can't understand what you're doing, then you're explaining it wrong.
Yeah.
That's it. That's my Bible. Like the book of Ron Genie.
Yeah.
But that is it. And PR really does help you to get really clear on what your key message is and just what your elevator pitch, 30 seconds or less.
Yeah.
What your target audience is and then who your competitors are. It's so easy to think you have no competitors. You have something. There's competition out there. Something's coming up, you know, something. You just have to figure out what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what PR helps with that.
I think this point, get crystal clear on these four main things. This also, you know, startups often ask us, and you know this, but startups, small businesses, tech companies often ask us, like, am I big enough for PR? Well, are you big enough for these four things? Key messages, target. You have to get clear on those things. And that's where your PR starts. You don't have to hire a PR agency to do that.
No.
You could do it on your own, but that is PR. You are essentially PRing your business at that point. So I think people need to understand that those are actually critical elements of PR, branding, messaging. They all go in the same, that particular activity goes into the same bucket. And is really essential for any startup or company who wants to grow in any kind of way.
Absolutely. And I will add to that, I know we're kind of skipping a bit, but where I'm talking about PR leading the strategic conversation, if you feel like your business is not quite ready for PR or you're not quite sure where to start, start with yourself. If you're the business owner, if you're the leader, if you're the face of the company, how do you build credibility for yourself as a thought leader? Because your brand ties into the brand of the organization.
Yeah.
At the very least, you can build out personal branding on LinkedIn and establish your personal key messaging, your target audience. What are you an expert at? Because that's probably how you ended up in your business. So what are you talking about as an expert? What's the thing that kept you up at night that made you solve this problem or start this business? If you can't figure it out for your company, figure it out for yourself. And I guarantee from there, it'll lead you into the path you need to figure this out for your business.
Yeah, I think often we get so far into the weeds that we forget, oh, wait a minute, we were a customer at one point.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So, yeah, that I really appreciate that thought level. And that actually, I mean, I guess these two last points could be interchangeable. Providing voices of authority, proof points for your messaging. That's what you're doing, right? That's
exactly.
When you're establishing thought leadership, that's what you're doing. thought leadership, I think, has been on the rise over the last few years. People have realized, you know, jobs are, well, I think maybe since the pandemic, right? Like jobs are flexible. You're going to move somewhere. I mean, it's inevitable that you're going to go somewhere else. So establish what you stand for, what you're talking about. I think people have also learned, and I would say PR had a big role in this, like the practice of public relations is establishing experts within the company.
Yes.
That has played a big role in how companies have lifted off and startups, like, you know, that's why they say ex-Googler started this company or ex-Facebook person, you know, started. So the personal branding and PR and thought leadership has really started going a long way when it comes to just industry expertise and things like
that.
And remember, and helping build your brand as you get that going too.
Absolutely. And remember that the face of your company doesn't have to be the founder, the CEO. Some people just don't care to be in front of the camera or care to be the face. And that's fine. It's totally fine. There are other people in your company who can champion that. You just have to find that person and put in the work with them to develop that brand and that messaging around them and let them be the face and carry it for you.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, absolutely. Make sure you get, I don't think we talk about speaking media training, but make sure you get media training.
Yes, always.
Always. All right. So developing strategic content, and I think this is going to be the year of, oh my God, I can't imagine how much content is going to come out this year. We just had a conversation with Grady Moore about SEO. So if you haven't tuned into that summit session, the SEO everything summit session, then that one's for you too. But just developing strategic content is going to be huge. Google's changing up the algorithm. We need to, you know, stay on top of that if you want to stay on top of any kind of ranking or leadership. But let's talk about this.
So I am excited that Google is changing up the algorithm. Content is back as king, and I could not be more thrilled because now it is no longer about just, I have joked about appeasing the Google gods for years and writing, and the writing becomes so robotic at times because you're trying to rank. And Google is putting the focus back on quality over quantity.
Well, they have to with AI now.
Yes.
Right?
And I love that. I know that there's a lot of fear, you know, around AI. You know, there was the chatter, is AI going to take away marketing? Is AI going to take away, you know, PR? Are robots going to replace us? No, because we are the experts and we are the people. And strategic content is always people focused.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, you know, AI can provide some great outlines and some resources and some suggestions. But at the end of the day, you got to talk about people first. It's great, you know, if you want to identify your key features. But if you're talking about the features of your product, you need to find a way to back that up with data and stories about people. And actually, I have an example from very recently. So one of our selling points at Martis is that we can help you reduce the time that it takes you to do your company budget, and you can reduce it by 50%, in some cases more. I mean, it's kind of exciting, right? Like, that's nice. And as a PR person, you're going to understand this when I give this example. But if I told you that, hey, I'd love to introduce you to this customer who recently signed on with us and their budgeting process went from 40 days to 5.
Wow.
You want to talk to the person, right? You don't care about this. The statistic is great, but when I put a person's face to it, when you can hear their voice, when you can hear them talk about how their staff members who work like maintenance and janitorial staff who don't use computers and don't know budgeting were among the first to turn that in because it's so dead simple. That's the story. And I think that's what we miss. It's so easy to get caught up in the features that sometimes we forget about the impact that a product or a service makes on a life. Yeah. And you have to think about that way. You have to think about the people and the impact that you're making on people and the outcome. So all those case studies,
even in the example you just mentioned, it's like people who wouldn't have normally, like you said, wouldn't normally be tech savvy, can all of a sudden turn this in. Yeah.
Yeah. With confidence that they've done it well and be among the first to turn it in. So like, that's a great success point. And it was really interesting because, you know, we've talked about the statistic, but as soon as I heard that part of the story, I was like, that's it. Like, that's the important part right there. And that's where
this janitor turned in his budgeting sheet. It's like,
And it sounds so crazy, but and that's where the journalist background in me went, like, that's the nugget. And that's what journalists are looking for. And I think that sometimes in marketing, we forget that.
Journalists, well, I don't know, in marketing, and you want to, I know you want to say we forget that in marketing, but in marketing, I think that's one of the core differences in marketing and PR too, right? Because we are, and when you're talking about PR, you're thinking about stories, you're thinking about content, you're thinking about strategy, like brand messaging. But when you're thinking about marketing, like you say, you kind of miss it because you're more focused on, okay, what are our USPs and how are we going to sell?
Yes.
And you don't have that journalistic perspective. And I think that's what PR introduces.
Yes, that's the part that PR brings in that I think helps it be so focused. And that's where I'm so grateful for my time in PR moving into marketing, because the number of pitches I have had to send to a journalist to see what landed and what didn't and what the story was, and then what I pitched versus how the story came out for those that were picked up, that is what has taught me to think a little bit differently. Shameless shout out to those of you who, if you're hiring in marketing or whatever, if you've got somebody with some PR background, it really does help with story development. I'm just going to say that's the part that I'm really grateful for, is the time that I spent writing before going into transitioning to marketing, because it's helped me to understand how to be more people focused.
Along
the way.
No, that's great. It's great.
The other part of this obviously is solving a problem. And I think that's, you know, easy to be said. When you talk about solving a problem, you want to make sure of two things. One, that your foundational message is clear. And then you just want to talk about solving the problem over and over and over again. You're just showing the people for whom the problem has been solved. You know, this person was struggling with this and now they look like this. Skincare companies do this really well. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, look at this person who had acne and now their face is clear. Yeah. Look at this person who had wrinkles and now they don't.
Now they've aged backwards.
Yes. Now they're 20 years younger somehow. Yeah. And that's what I always think about is, you know, think about what problem you're solving, and people should come to your website, read your social media posts, your webinar or whatever, and go, oh, that's the thing I've been missing.
Right.
Oh, I didn't realize that. And I will always tell people, give away some solutions for free, because that builds trust. And trust is an essential part of PR. Trust and credibility. So give away some problem solving for free to people, whatever that looks like. If that's a blog post with some free resources, free consultation, free trial of your product or service, whatever. People want to see how it's going to work for them. They need to picture themselves in it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like this last one, easy to understand, replicate, repeat. I think that goes to the simplicity of it, right? It's like,
absolutely,
keep it to the point. And we've always been that way. We've always been concise, right? If nothing else.
Yes. Yeah, because again, journalists are not going to read a 500-word email.
No.
We have to keep it to 5 sentences or less. And that lends itself well. And then you start to think about, you really should not be reinventing the wheel. This is what I tell people. It's really easy in marketing to get distracted because people are like, I have this idea. Oh, I have this idea. Oh, we should do this. And the next thing you know, you're writing content that has all these different messages. But at the end of the day, for example, that one customer testimonial that I talked about, we can turn that into a case study, a blog post, a podcast, or a co-branded webinar. We can, you know, at some point possibly issue a press release about it that points to, you know, some other data points. One story, one piece of content, that's where you have to learn how to slice and dice it. So you're not reinventing the wheel. You're using that same little nugget of information and just presenting it in different ways. And that's what keeps your messaging unified. And I know we've talked about this like over the years so many times.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm on board with everything you just said. All right. And that perfect segue into unified messaging here. Yeah. And I think this unified messaging is another core of how PR really drives marketing teams, drives social media teams, drives sales. I don't know that in this conversation we really talk about, we talk about integrated communications and just like kind of tapping into all the different areas. But I think this unified messaging really comes from the PR side, strategic side of things. And these simple steps that you've kind of laid out here really help execute those things, right?
Absolutely. And that first one that I'm talking about, find an expert, I say this with love to all the small business owners. If you own a small business, you are not the person who should be leading your marketing efforts and your PR efforts long term. You are too in the weeds. There are too many things, too many hats to wear as a business owner. And two issues with that. One, it's easy to push PR and marketing to the back burner when things become urgent and you have to put out the fires and address the immediate needs of running a business. Mm-hmm. And the other is, because you're so deep in it, sometimes you miss details or key aspects of a story that the outside perspective provides. So hire a consultant, hire a freelancer, hire an agency, hire someone.
Somebody.
Hire somebody who is an expert and hire someone who has been or has led a team to where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're just starting out, don't try to hire the CEO of a $100 million company. Hire somebody who's, you know, a couple tiers further than you are and say, like, how did you get from point A to point B? Like, just give me that. Pay somebody to create a framework for you. Like, if you can't hire someone long term, hey, can you outline my 12-month PR plan? And I will fill in the gaps. And then can we check in at 6 months and again at 12 months? If you can't do something, you know, full time or long term, you can do something. Figure out what you can work into your budget, because I'm telling you, what you invest in is going to provide a much bigger return on your investment. And then the other one is, when we talk about creating internal messaging, create that message first. And what I mean is, everybody in your organization literally needs to be on the same page. They need to be in the same Google document, the same messaging document, the same branding guidelines, presentation templates. Create that framework internally, because otherwise you've got, you know, somebody out here in the wild in sales with a message that doesn't align to your brand. And you got to kind of pull that back. So get everybody internally on the same page first. And when you do that, you're going to identify who those internal champions are, who those people are who love to post on LinkedIn, love to write blog posts. It doesn't have to be perfect. There are some amazing experts within our own company. They know things about this product. They've been working with it longer. They know things I do not know. It will take me years to catch up to and learn. So I just say, hey, I know that writing's not your skill, but could you give me an outline on this? Or could we sit down and have a meeting and you teach me how to do this? And then I'll write it. Utilize those experts in the best ways possible. If someone, we've got somebody who wants to start a podcast and he has an idea for a podcast and it really aligns with what we're doing for messaging for next year. And I said, I think that's great. How can I support you? How can our company support you, an employee who's an expert in this field, in launching that podcast? What can we do to support you? Because in building that brand and building that expertise, it's going to help to support what he's doing within our company and the ways that he's leading our organization as well. So identify those people who can lead in various ways, podcast, thought leadership, expertise, and pull them in. And then same way, identify those customers who are willing to champion your product. Because word of mouth is always the best way to sell. Empower them to preach the message for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we're always looking for customer case studies, right? People to champion the message. So that's, I feel like that's a given, but maybe it's bare repeating, you know, is worth repeating just so you have that. Yeah.
I think it's an easy one to overlook, to forget about the customers, because we're so busy empowering and building the content ourselves. But customers and partners can create some amazing content or give you a shout out that really drives business to you in a way that you couldn't have shared
done for yourself. And
that's what PR is about. PR is about building that credibility.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. I think all of this is kind of like bleeding into each other. So I love it. So creating efficient strategies, and this kind of bodes for all of it. It's for marketing, PR, for everything, right? One of the things that actually, you know, going back to what you said in the last, I think the last slide, was that you can't do it all.
Right.
And I think that's really important to remember. I agree with, as a business owner, you have your primary focus, which is to run and guide the business, lead the business, right? Yeah. And so marketing and PR are those types of activities where it's like, you know, people always, you know, when the recession comes, it's like the first budget to get cut. Yeah. But if you don't have marketing and PR, like, how are you going to be getting that traffic to your website? How are you going to have all the other problems exactly. that come with running, you know, running a successful business? Is you need customers. And so what happens is, in the near term, cutting the budget for marketing and PR, and obviously I'm like just, you know, speaking for our industry here, but cutting the marketing budget for marketing PR might seem like a great short-term solution, but it has really negative long-term impacts because
it does.
You know, you disappear for a few months. It's so hard to get that momentum back. And it's yep. so hard to get that credibility and visibility back that even if you just, you know, we had one client recently, she was fighting so hard to keep PR and content creation. And she's like, I really, really want to keep you guys. I really want to keep content creation. I know that if we just disappear, it's not going to be good for us. And yep. it's going to be so hard to come back to all the stuff that we've built so far. And mm-hmm. so we went to a very bare bones program. But I appreciate that because now, even though we're not doing as far as quantity, we're not doing as much, there's still going to be a streamline of visibility throughout. Yep. And there's that like baseline layer. That base layer is staying there. We're going to mm-hmm. keep you comfortable and cozy and visible in the industry. We may not be screaming very loudly right now, but we'll do that when the money comes back or we get these yeah. other big customers. But it's not like you've disappeared, gone and disappeared, you know? And I think
exactly.
efficiency is about that, is creating a sustainable program that you could stick with for a longer period of time. And, you know, it kind of even pains me to say that because I am a person of action and I like everything now. Yeah. Also, so I get it. But I think the truth is sustainability is very important. And so creating these efficient strategies is mm-hmm. the best place to really like kind of put a stake in the ground.
Absolutely. And mm-hmm. Wasn't it Steve Jobs that said, if I was down to my last dollar, I'd spend it on PR?
Spend it on PR. Yeah.
And I mean, there's a reason for that. And it's because at the end of the day, what I found is that PR and my background in PR keeps me grounded. It keeps me coming back to what's the central message? What's the one thing that I need to be doing? And to your point, I actually had an experience recently. I'd been working with a mentor and working on some items here because I'm still fairly new here. I'm less than a mm-hmm. year into the job. And just wanted to really make sure I was taking things to the next level. So I was working with this mentor and I put together my slide deck to kind of introduce myself and show all that I had done, like in my first however many months here. And I was so proud. And, you know, like we've been friends for a long time. So, you know, I really thrive on that. Like, look at, you know, like give me a thumbs up. Tell me what job I've done. So I'm so proud. Like I share all this stuff. And at the end, he said, okay, you need to slow down. You're doing too much. Love what you're doing. Love the ambition. You got to narrow the focus or you're going to burn out.
Yeah.
And I was a bit taken aback at first. And it took me about a week to process that. And then I started looking through all the notes that I had made and I realized, yeah, I was getting myself off scope. I was doing lots of great things and thrilled with the progress that we had made. But I was in jeopardy of putting myself in a position for 2024 where I was really going to struggle with the workload simply because I wasn't niching down enough.
Because you have to maintain all of that, everything that you're doing, right?
Yes. You feel like you have to maintain it. But at the end of the day, it goes back to you from that outside PR perspective. What does the client think they need versus what do they really need?
And
it's very much, you know, when you're brought in as the expert for something, you need to be able to give that advice. So I appreciated the great kindness that he did for me and saying, all right, hold on, let's reframe this and let's talk about what actually needs to happen in order for you to be successful in 2024. And while I don't think this was his, he kind of introduced the crawl, walk, run approach to me, which I am really appreciating because it's not tied to a specific time increment. And if you are a small business, that is invaluable because you don't know if your business is going to take off in 3 months or if it's going to take you 3 years. But that walk, run, using those increments and saying, what is the foundation that I can create to make sure that my business is successful long term? That's been really helpful. So I love having these boxes I can check off without feeling like I have that 30, 60, 90 days to accomplish it because it is in collaboration with other, you know, like cross department collaboration. So it makes me feel like I am making progress without that feeling of time constraints or feeling stressed over trying to get things done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I think we do often, I think this is everybody's guilty of just getting into the flow of getting things done, checking things off.
Yes.
Even though we're not sure if that's really making the impact we need it to make, you know, it's just getting it off your list, getting it off your plate.
Have you ever written something on the list just so you can check it off so you can feel accomplished?
Sometimes I write it after I've done it.
Yes. Yes. Like, oh, I just did this. Let me feel accomplished. But like, does it really get you to the big one, two or three things you need to do at the end of the day or the end of the week?
No, absolutely not.
And I mean, I'm guilty of it, too. And then the other thing that helped me to understand is the importance of taking time. Actually, I worked with a client once who they really wanted like a specific type of media coverage. And I swear we had this conversation like every 4 weeks. We would start to build up to this media coverage and it takes time to get certain types of coverage. You know this. But then they would panic and they would say, just get low hanging fruit, just get low hanging fruit. And so just as we were starting to build that momentum, we would have to stop and go for the low hanging fruit. And so it was just this awful, vicious cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And it was based in fear and panic. And in contrast, other clients that I had worked with, and I was like, hey, this is taking a little bit longer, but if you'll give me a little bit of time, it'll really be worth it. And those clients would come back and say things like, you know, I didn't think that PR had an effect on sales, but I just realized, you know, we took the time, we got the right kind of coverage.
Right.
And now all of a sudden, like sales is on a roll. Like,
yeah. Or someone saw this article from so long ago. They finally saw it. When they saw it, when they were ready to make a decision. That's when they saw it.
Absolutely.
So I think that's what people fail to understand is like, it's not, PR isn't driving the sales funnel. We are complementing it. And
yeah,
we're closing the deal, basically. You know, it's like,
yes,
we're the deal closers. So I think that's what people need. It's where the confidence that people need to close and, you know, move to the next step.
Absolutely. So to that point, don't panic.
Don't panic.
Yeah. And I know that on the next one, you know, give it time. Don't panic. In fact, we just had some folks reacting to and interacting with a LinkedIn post from 9 months ago. And you wouldn't think that it's something that they would interact with, but it's like you said, it was the right time for them. The other thing that I've learned is that not every campaign is going to land, and that's okay because you're going to learn just as much from the campaigns that flop as you do from the ones that are successful. You're going to learn what not to do. So don't be afraid to fail. And if you've given it 90 days and it's just not working, pivot. That's okay. Mm-hmm. Just remember to note what you learned from the flop. You know, what do we need to do? What could we have done better? What can we do? What do we not need to do in the next campaign?
Right. Right. What do you think, you know, going into 2024, let's just kind of sum it up this way.
Yeah.
What do you think are the most important things for marketing leaders? I'm going to target marketing leaders because that's really a lot of times who's making the comms decisions. So communications, marketing leaders, what should they be considering other than what you've just said in the last slide as we drive into the 2024 season?
I think as a marketing leader, what I am focusing on right now, and I encourage others to focus on, it's two-pronged. One is your message and the other is your distribution. And I think those go hand in hand. I'll share this with you afterwards, but there's a resource that I've been watching and using, Justin Simon, Distribution First. I have no connection to this guy other than professional connection, but what he is putting out is amazing. And he talks about getting really crystal clear on what your distribution channels need to be and understanding that it's not about creating more messaging. It's about putting your messaging in the right distribution channels. To me,
this is a podcast, right?
He has a podcast and he's on LinkedIn as well.
Okay.
So he should be on your podcast.
I will have to have him on the PR playbook. Yes,
absolutely. I think he's a perfect fit for you guys. So focus on getting really crystal clear and simplifying your messaging. And then figuring out those 2 to 3 distribution channels that are going to absolutely make the most impact for you in 2024, because content is coming back in a very big way. And if we don't get those two things right, we're going to get lost in all the noise.
Thank you, Megan. I think this is a really good way to kind of quickly, sharply refocus on you know, making sure that you're doing the right things. So this is a good conversation.
Absolutely. It's always a pleasure.
Yes. All right.
I love it.
Well, thanks, guys, for joining us. If you have any other questions that weren't answered or any questions for Megan, you could feel free to reach out to me, Ranjini, at the Silver Telegram. And then also, I think it's Malba, M-A-L-B-A, at MardisSolutions.com. If you have questions about her or Mardis. And yeah, thank you guys. And I hope you have a successful 2024 and integrating your marketing and PR plans together.
Absolutely. Love it. Take care, guys.
All right. See you. Bye.